call it a beautiful day. It's windy, actually. We should see wind for the most part today. Overcast, maybe some sunshine in parts, but boy, a storm rolled through this province last night. Didn't catch the whole province, but where it did hit, high winds, lightning, thunder, hail in some spots, and a ton of rain. We're hearing some places got the better part of 2 inches of rain overnight. The hail, of course, not a great time, just ahead of harvest. Thank you to everyone who is texting in on the text line. So we're following the Air Canada strike this morning. We've got a few things on the go, but I'll start with this. Air Canada, we've had a couple of guests talking about and helping us pull apart what does this actually mean. What we've heard from Air Canada, they held a news conference down east earlier this morning. We will likely see a full shutdown by Saturday. Now, keep in mind, this doesn't affect like the Jazz flights, which tend to be the shorter flights. A lot of people that fly, this is a subsidiary of Air Canada, but their flight attendants aren't affected by this. So it's starting with the long haul international flights. If you've got any of those booked, they are likely going to be the first impacted, but we'll continue to see this roll out. I did notice as they were holding this news conference, it was Air Canada that was speaking to the media. A number of protesters and supporters for the flight attendants made their way into the camera. They had signs. They ended up having to shut the news conference down. So that was happening this morning. Now, we had Donna join us on the show. Donna worked as a flight attendant for the better part of 20 years. And she really gave an interesting perspective of how this works. It's crazy to me. It's hard to wrap your head around that you would be expected to come to work, in the case of flight attendants, in uniform. So you're changed out, you're at work, you're in the workplace, you're on the plane, you're doing work, but you're not getting paid for it. Just the way the contract is written, it's, as Donna said, it's not even when the door's closed, it's when the brakes are released and essentially the plane is in motion. Deanna from Saskatoon shot a text in as Donna and I were talking, and Deanna said, you know, I don't often side on the side of unions, but in this case, I am. Deanna says, it's ridiculous that flight attendants don't get paid until the doors of a plane close and take off. If that's how management wants to play, how about all management gets their wages docked every time a flight is canceled? And if a plane is delayed, their salaries are docked for every hour a flight is delayed. Deanna, I'm sure there's a lot of people who spend their time waiting in airports for delayed flights that would be on page with you on that. But boy, you think about the delays that are happening. And again, Donna, I think, gave us a good perspective of that. So we'll continue to keep an eye on this. Our newsroom is on it, and we will keep you up to date. But as I mentioned, Air Canada announced this morning a gradual suspension of flights. Okay, let's shift back to canola. This is a big story. We've been covering this. We had Sean Haney from realagriculture.com yesterday on the program. Those tariffs, those Chinese 76% tariffs on canola seed are in effect now. They started today. Pierre Poilievre, who right now is essentially on the campaign trail because he's got that by-election happening on Monday, has stepped outside of Alberta and is in Saskatchewan in Corman Park this morning, holding a live news conference. In fact, it's just wrapping up, and they're talking about EV mandates, talking about the canola tariffs and the impact that this is having and going to have. So this is something that we're continuing to follow. The media scrum is happening right now. We have Lara Fominoff and Mia Holowaychuk out in Corman Park covering this. So we will be able to get one of them on the show to hear more about what was said there. The other thing we're working on is knowing that Pierre Poilievre is in town, we're hoping that we could get him on the show for an interview. Perhaps it might not happen today, but we will have a reporter on the show today. But it is my hope that maybe tomorrow we'll be able to get the Conservative leader on the show for a bit of a chat. So we're working on that as well. Speaking of Poilievre, I don't know if you saw the story, but advanced voter turnout in that Alberta by-election is looking like it's not only on par, it's actually a little bit up from the 2025 general election. In the 2025 general election, back this spring, 14,434 voters cast early ballots in that Battle River Crowfoot riding. 14,434. during advanced polls in this by-election, 14,454, 20 more people voted in the by-election, in advance, of course, of the polls. It's interesting because as voters show up, they're handed a blank ballot, which is very unique. Normally, they would get a ballot with the names of the candidates on it. Don't forget, this time, thanks to the protest group, the Longest Ballot Committee, there are 200. I should say, let me back up. A record-setting 214 candidates' names on the ballot. Ridiculous. I have got into arguments with good friends of mine. I say this is election interference. And very smart, knowledgeable people who are friends of mine are saying it absolutely is not. It's a right in Canada to run as an independent. Come on. This is organized. This is a form of protest. I don't know how you can't call this election interference. Anyway, Elections Canada had to make the decision because of the long ballot that they basically give a blank ballot to the voter and they write the name. They fill out the name of their preferred candidate. Some people saying that will help Pierre Poilievre, who clearly is going to win this by-election. We know that Damien Couric won it by, what would he have, 83% of the vote, I think, in the election this spring. Will Pierre Poilievre get that high? I'm guessing it'll be close. Some people are speculating more in the mid-70s, but nonetheless, it'll be a win for the Conservatives. No question about that. So we're following Pierre Poilievre. He is in Cormann Park this morning. We have reporters there. I've talked about it. He did yesterday come out and urge Ottawa to cancel the BC Ferries loan. So this is interesting. This is in response as well to the Chinese tariffs on canola. He is calling on the federal government to cancel a $1 billion federal loan to BC Ferries for the purchase of Chinese-made vessels. The Globe and Mail broke this story back in June, and maybe this is one of those ones that wasn't seen to be a big deal or was being kept quiet. I don't know, but the federal government's Canada Infrastructure Bank, known as the CIB, provided $1 billion in financing for BC Ferries to buy four ships from Chinese state-owned China Merchants Industry Weihei Shipyards. $1 billion. Now, Pierre Poilievre is calling for Canadian workers capable of building world-class ships with Canadian steel and aluminum and technology right here at home. He would like to see that is where the money is sunk into. A double whammy. Interesting, though, that we hear from members of the Liberal government, like the infrastructure minister, Gregor Robertson. I think he goes by Gregor. He's the former mayor of Vancouver. And transport minister, Chrystia Freeland. Both of them dismayed by this procurement, frustrated that this is going ahead. But Mr. Robertson said that that bank that I was just talking about, the Canada Infrastructure Bank, is an arm's length organization from government, and the ship has already sailed, excuse the pun. Basically said the deal has been inked earlier in the year and could not at this point be turned around. So the federal government essentially saying they're not happy with the fact that $1 billion is being given to China to purchase these ferries, but nothing can be done about it. So again, the tangled web between Canada and China. And, you know, Premier Mo will point out, because I've seen a number of people on the text line saying, don't we just scrap this relationship with China altogether? Like, let's get out of it. Premier Mo has said, this is an important trade partner for us. Yes, it's tricky. Yes, it's tough to deal with sometimes the Chinese government. But at the end of the day, they are big customers of many of our products. So many will say it's not about eliminating them. It's about finding a way to a trade agreement that works for everyone. And if we go back, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that these EV tariffs that we happily slapped on China last fall are coming back to bite us predictably in the butt. Okay, let's take a break. We will be back momentarily with more about what's happening in the world today and your thoughts on it. Thank you, by the way, to people continuing to send in pictures and information about last night's storm. We'll share that with folks as well. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning and welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. I just mentioned Pierre Poilievre still holding a news conference in Cormorant Park. He's talking about the Conservatives' position on the federal government EV mandates, talking about the canola tariffs. We are going to bring Lara Fominoff, senior reporter from our CKOM newsroom, on the show probably closer to 10:30. Give us a full update on what was said at that news conference and what is being called for by the Conservatives. So we'll continue to follow that along. I made the comment, and I knew this would get people going on the text line, and it did, that this longest ballot committee is, to me, election interference. I have had many colorful conversations with friends of mine in the hallways at the radio station, outside of the radio station, people saying, it's not election interference. It's a legal right in Canada, the way the law is written, that you can run as an independent. The law, they're not doing anything illegal by doing this. Now, Jace, who is a regular contributor to this show, he likes to text in on a regular basis. He says, Evan, how can you say it's election interference? And here's what he says. If an election comes around and you say, I'm going to vote Conservative for Poilievre, you know who you're voting for. You walk in there, you're handed a meter-long ballot. Doesn't matter how many names on there. Jace says there could be 1,000 names on the ballot. If you want to vote for Poilievre, you vote for Poilievre. You just got to find the name on the sheet. They're in alphabetical order. Put an X beside it. And then he goes on to say it's even easier now because all you've got to do is print his name on the page. Something that simply confuses voters who they're voting for. Then there would be other issues that I would be more concerned about. So my point is, and I've said this before, is I do think for you and I have this conversation every day. We pay attention to politics. We walk into a ballot station knowing who we're going to vote for. I don't know if I'm going to say we're the exception to the rule, but I will say there are a lot of people. Hundreds of thousands of people in Canada who don't follow very closely, who don't pay strong attention, who maybe couldn't even tell you who the leader of the Conservative Party is or who's running in their riding, and they show up to cast their vote. For uninformed voters, 5 names on a ballot versus 214 names on a ballot does seem confusing to me. So yeah, Jace, I agree with you. If you know that you're going to vote for a certain person and it's simply looking for their name on an alphabetized list of names, it's pretty simple. But I don't think you can say it doesn't interfere with votes that are made on a ballot that contain hundreds of names. Now, did it backfire? I know there's some people, Kirk, for example, in North Battleford said the longest ballot committee basically made the ballots unprintable. It's kind of funny how their goal was to make the longest ballot and they ended up with probably the shortest because it's a piece of paper where you write the name in. We're talking about the by-election that's happening on Monday in Alberta. Rob asking a question from Unity. Would a misspelling of Pierre's name be enough to be considered a spoiled ballot? I don't think so. I saw a report on that. As long as you can make out who it is, it's clear who you're trying to vote for. Let's be honest, Pierre Poilievre doesn't have the easiest name to spell. I rely on spell check often when I'm putting it in my notes. So, yeah, I mean, it's safe to say there's going to be spelling mistakes. But if it's clear who you're voting for, they are going to allow it to go forward, not as a spoiled ballot. So that was part of the information we'd received when this first came out. Okay, we continue to watch a couple of things going on. I've talked about the Air Canada strike. The canola tariffs hit officially today. That comes into play, the Chinese tariffs on canola seeds. So this is alongside and over top of the 100% Chinese tariffs on canola meal and oil. This now on canola seeds, 76%. We will hear what Pierre Polyev's thoughts were when we bring our senior reporter Laura Fominoff onto the show. That's going to be happening a little bit later on this morning. Where I'm going to go next is we have talked a lot about supply management. I will be the first to say I don't completely understand how supply management works. There was a reason that it was put in place in Canada, and the reason was to protect the industries in Canada, to protect our milk industry, our dairy, to protect our eggs and poultry, and prevent, for example, an infiltration of U.S. commodities coming into Canada and compromising our industries here in Canada. And that's, on a very basic level, the reason that it was put in place. Is it still a good system? Trump doesn't like it. We know that. That doesn't mean it's a reason to change it. Some say it's got to go. Some say it's absolutely the right thing. It keeps the quality high. It keeps the standard high. It keeps the pricing predictable. So there's pros and cons to it. I'm bringing a guest in who is not necessarily in favor of it. Stuart Smythe is a professor from the University of Saskatchewan. He's done some writing on supply management. We're going to hear from him. And here's his thoughts next when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.